right. Welcome to the Library Advisory Board. It is April 16th, 5:04. So we have with us, oh my gosh, I'm blanking out, Stacy Ridenour, Courtney Huggins, and Larry, I'm going to get it right, Pereira.
No. Close enough.
Okay, good never going to get it right. And Spencer Smith, the Library Director, and Alicia Cuernos, our board clerk, and other city stuff. Okay, so we're going to move on. Are there any items that we need to, and what did we talk about? The public comments for anything on the agenda from anyone?
There are none.
In the room. Hearing none, we'll move forward to the consent items. We're at 26-0306 is the minutes of the library board meeting from March 19th. Any comments about the minutes?
Looked good.
All right, anyone want to move to accept the minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
So Courtney moves to accept minutes.
I second.
And Stacy seconds. So all in favor of accepting minutes?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Aye. All right, so we will move forward with the minutes. And the next we have item 26-0307, update on the 2026 McKinney Board and Commission member appointments. So City Secretary Caitlin is going to present the process to us. Welcome.
Okay. Hello, Library Board and City staff. My name is Caitlin Hardaway. I'm the permit technician for the City Secretary's office. And I'm here to give you an update on the boards and commission appointment process. So this time of year, we begin to accept applications from McKinney residents interested in applying to a board or commission, including incumbents wishing to be reappointed. On Tuesday, August 25th, the City Council will begin appointing new members to the various boards and commissions with the term beginning on October 1st of 2026. The application submission period is currently open and the deadline for application submissions is June 19th. You can apply online as an incumbent if you wish to be considered for continued service. You'll need to reapply using your email address on file to update your existing application. And interviews will be conducted in July. All approved applicants will be contacted to confirm their schedules. And new and reappointed members must complete that open government training or any related trainings before October 1st of 2026. So the library board consists of 7 members and 1 alternate. Appointment terms are 2 years, and the library board has a maximum of 2 consecutive terms allowed. And that is all I have for you guys. Do you have any questions? Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kate. All right. So now we're moving on to regular agenda items. We have 26-0308 that discuss the new code of conduct policy. So Spencer, take it away.
Yes, if you remember a few meetings ago, I brought a proposed change in code of conduct to the board for feedback. We got some feedback specifically on number 6 and 7, and then some recommended word choice. We're changing from patrons or users to visitors. So we've incorporated those changes, at least with visitors. Number 6 now reads, do not monopolize library spaces, furniture, and equipment. For example, you cannot leave your belongings at a table and leave the building in order to maintain your seat at the table. So really driving home that that's what we mean. You just can't claim a space and keep it.
Stake your claim.
And then also use library space, furniture, and equipment as intended, not moving them without express staff permission. And activities like bathing, there should be and grooming are prohibited on library property. And that was specifically to give better direction for, hey, this stuff needs to stay where it is. And just because you're in a single user restroom doesn't mean that you can bathe yourself in the sink. Things like that are still against policy.
How easy is it to move furniture? Are you talking about like chairs and tables? Can they be moved?
Chairs and tables, yeah.
Or put together?
They'll put them together, they'll bust them apart, they'll take a very comfortable chair and drag it over. And those aren't light, but if it's busy, they'll drag it over to the side of a table. And that's, all of that is okay. If they ask staff and staff says, yeah, that's fine because nobody else is using it, or a lot of times what staff will say is, well, actually, we can do this instead. And then they're like, oh, I didn't know that was there. And so that's the purpose. At Hall in particular, in the past, we would have groups basically form large pods of people and get very loud and not, and they do that by moving furniture around, or they would move furniture around to sleep and hide people. And so the furniture's there how it is for a reason, to maximize use. But if you have a reason to move it, talk with staff and we'll work with you to make that happen. Most tables are effectively one or two person tables, and sometimes people will slam them together. And again, that's fine, but they won't move them apart when they're done. And if staff knows about it, we can take care of that stuff. I think this incorporated, I listened back to the audio, this incorporated the feedback. I will not ask for any action today, especially since people are out. I would ask that you take this home in its current form, think about it, and come to the next meeting prepared to either offer changes that we can work on through that meeting and then accept them at the next meeting. But I do want to give everyone time with the new language to sit down, think about it, say, what about this, what about that, so we can have a final kind of discussion on this moving into next meeting, if that's okay with everyone.
I have a question.
Yes.
Would it help to, I swung by the library over the weekend and there was some signage outside. Would it help to put something in here for signage outside? Because I was talking to the staff and they said that you already knew about it and what was happening. And
I don't think we can control that.
Okay.
Because that's a First Amendment issue, yeah. And they're not blocking or harming use of the library space.
Is it election signs?
It was not election signs. It was
like party signs?
It was, we've had an anti-gay marriage protest sign and an anti-abortion protest sign. Mm. They're on kind of the grass near the sidewalk.
So you have to leave them?
He was planted right next to the, so whoever it was on Saturday morning, yeah, was very strategic because the staff couldn't see him, yeah, from where he was inside the building because he planted himself at the catty corner of it. They couldn't see, yeah, him until I walked. I was like, hey.
So
it's in the building.
No,
I thought it was in the grass.
It's outside the building.
Got it.
They're looking for exposure on El Dorado traffic.
Okay.
And they know that the library is very busy. Yeah. Plano recently, and I think Frisco recently, established free speech zones to allow that. And honestly, I feel if we try to go that way, it might create more of a problem than the two times it's come out. And then once election
year happens,
we can't do anything anyway. But it is something I'll talk with city manager's office about. If does parks already have an ordinance? If parks has an ordinance, we're in a park. Is it already governed? But typically when we see people out there, it's around election time, and we can't, other than, and we don't do, code does it. We don't do it. But I know that when they told me, I was out of town and they called me and they were like, yeah, they're protesting gay marriage. And I was like, is anybody getting married at the library?
Yeah.
And I said, no. And I was like, I don't understand. Yeah. They were just there for like an hour, but I think it's their, it's a public space with lots of people. Yeah. But it's something I'll ask about and I'll come back with. At the time, it's like, well, don't go out and antagonize them because we don't know.
Yep.
But we'll ask and get clarity for you.
They were so sweet. The staff did such an amazing job. And I was like, I don't know if you guys know. This is just outside. You know, I wasn't complaining. And they were like, we're trying. We don't know.
They let me know. It's just how much do we... We don't want to go out and tell them they can't be there if they can. That's like the worst case scenario.
Well, wouldn't it fit under the new ordinances? Or is that just downtown?
It's just
the ordinances where you can't stand...
That's just downtown.
Okay,
all that stuff
downtown.
Is just, it, that it. Has to be okay. Geographically contained.
Okay.
But I'll get feedback on that.
Explain the word porn to my first grader?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I read it because it said, yeah. And I was like, yeah. Oh.
And then when we talk to them, they say, well, it's really about the schools. And we're like, you're here on a Saturday. We'll talk and I'll come back with some info on that.
I was just curious.
Those types of things, too, take them home. Those are the types of things we want to make sure we work through here.
Recall why is visitors highlighted in the
because it was users and
we
had a feedback that it would be a softer language
nicer.
And how are they using the library as opposed to if they're just in the library, they're visitors, that covers everybody.
And users has many meanings.
Yes.
Okay.
So now we're, is there any other questions? We'll move on to 26-0308. Nine, is there anyone who's, Stacy, can you give an update on the Library Foundation?
I wasn't at the last one.
I can talk to that.
Yeah.
Okay, then Spencer.
The CJ Box meeting was a big success. They're very happy. It was such a success that we will now be hosting three more authors who want to come, two in July, one in August. Riley Sager will be here on his book release date in August. Sherry Lupina will be here at the end of July. And Amanda, somebody, will be here earlier. Staff is working on it. Foundation's still going to be the place to buy tickets. They put a lot of work into the last one. But everything else is going well. I think they have some new members, and they're just really taking this time to figure out how to expand and be the best foundation they can be.
So they're doing it, or the library's?
The ticket purchases go through them because they can sell, and they're a nonprofit, and they can accept the money. I was explaining earlier, any donations that come to the library in cash are viewed as donations to the city because the city funds the library. And even if you explain, well, they don't donate to the police department, they donate to the library, I get their point of view too. So the foundation is the place where you can do those sales, fundraising, and their charter is to support us, but the city is, it's a separate entity. So.
It's like the U.S. Treasury.
Quick question on the donations. If there's a stipulation in the donation, that it is intended to use by the library one way or the other, through the board or even just through you, then the city cannot grab that money.
No, we've had that conversation. There was a gentleman who passed away a few years ago, unknown to us. He left us a large sum of money, six figures. And the advice was spend it quickly because they can say, well, we'll just cut your budget by that amount and use that money. But that is actually the funding for how we started the feasibility study for renovating Hall. And so we were able to use it. They're not mean about it. They just don't want the library donations. When I got here, it was a lot because they never spent it. And they don't want to have a balance of this when we're not a nonprofit. We're a city. We shouldn't be hoarding,
right?
Not donations. Hoarding, but donations. And the foundation is it's a tax write-off. There are lots of benefits to it, and it's a layer of protection. It's not Spencer's money that Spencer gets to spend. The foundation has to say, no, this is something that supports the library. We have to convince them that that's there. But yes, in theory, they've worked with us really well on those instances.
Right.
But they just kind of are like, okay, well, this is the case, then we need to move quickly.
Any other questions about the foundation?
Well, I know we talked about kind of rotating, attending those meetings. How do we do that?
I think there was going to be an email, but I didn't see what came out. But Lisa, I think, was going to do the last one.
Correct. So yeah. Lisa was going to bring a sign-up sheet to the meeting today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, thanks.
And I will invite them to the next meeting to talk themselves also, at least someone from there.
Get one here and there.
That would be really, really helpful. Yeah.
We're going to move on to reports. So 26-0310, the director's report.
All right.
Spencer.
I will be pretty quick here. Overall.
What about cute armadillo?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That was our spring break program. They brought animals in and apparently let the armadillo loose. in the library. We are down around 3% of circulation versus last year. I will point out when you look a little further down, we only did one big spring break program this year instead of five. Last year we had five. It spread people out a little bit, but overall the numbers were a little lower, but people were getting burned out by the fifth one, and attendance just kind of dropped off, and we didn't do anything on the weekend. So this time we did a big one and had pretty decent numbers. I will also point out that the entire parking lot that connects the library to Hillsdale is closed because they're at construction, so parking is kind of a nightmare, and some other stuff going on there hinder that. Alicia, if we can scroll down a little bit. Study rooms continue to be used. There are hours where they're not used as much, but the peak hours, you just can't get one at certain times of the day. So we're really excited about Hall opening up with its 9 study rooms. And then unique borrowers, the Hall borrowers at the last one, those are actually the number of people who have used the locker at City Hall. So they maintained Hall. Well, that's not the total 12,900, that's everybody. But that chunk there, it's a lot, really, when you think that it only holds 150 things. So it is getting used. It's getting used pretty well by people on this side of town, by some city employees here in City Hall, which is great. And then we're really looking forward to what it can do when we open it up, when Hall opens back up. Digital use continues to grow, so that's another place where people who were at Hall have been using the e-books a little more. Recently, to try to meet demand in our consortium, we were by far the highest allower. Is that a word? I don't think that's a word. We allowed the highest number of simultaneous checkouts of anyone in the consortium, which is hundreds of libraries, I believe. Maybe that's hyperbole. It's a lot of libraries. And we allowed the most holds. And so if you've used Cloud Library, you'll see sometimes on a popular book, it'll tell you it's a 2-year wait. That's never really accurate, but it scares people off. So we've actually lowered those numbers. Everyone who had stuff out now or had our holds now won't be hurt, but as they drop off, they'll be adjusted to the number. We're still now tied for the most allowed, but we went from like 15 to 10. So it shouldn't impact most people.
You mean you went from 15 to 10 by choice? Or the consortium?
No, we did because we can't keep up with demand.
Got it.
And super users will check out 12 books at a time constantly, and that they don't, I don't know how people read that, but we wanted to spread out the number of people who could have access and get those wait times down a little bit.
Is that for a certain, like adult books, or is that also for kids' books?
It's also for kids, but most people, I mean, if they're reading the kids, it's simultaneous. So if you return it, you can get the other one again. Most people have one or two things out at a time. A certain number have 12 per person at a time. And so there are options there for your family. Each individual user can get a card and access it, or return one and the next one will come in.
Oh, you mean the same book, sorry.
Yeah.
I tracked it, sorry. I think you were delivering books. I got you now.
So most people, like, they're going to check out all 12 of the Jack Reacher first novels, and that means other people can't have them, but they're just holding them until later. So we grew 830 almost new members in March, which was still impressive given, you know, the parking and all the other situations there. The Correspondent by Virginia Evans, number one book in March. And then The Let Them Theory maintains popularity. Hot Mess by Jeff Kinney. Jeff Kinney writes the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books. He is 13 of the top 15 kids' books right now. So really popular. And then Zootopia 2 was the most popular movie.
Because of spring break, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, he's perpetually popular. His books, you just can't keep them in. And he has a lot of them. So, and then, like, if you want to say young boys aren't reading, they are. They're reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid books by the fistful. And then Hold Satisfied, we still, with everything, over 11,000 holds were satisfied in the month. So that it continues to grow. And you can see there, thank you, Alicia, close, pushing 1,000 at the City Hall holds locker.
That's a lot.
Yeah, for the size of the locker, for the cost of the locker, for being able to offer that over here. It's been a great investment, I think, from the library to be able to service that many people over here.
What are you doing with the lockers after this?
We'll have a discussion. It can go somewhere else. Yep. It can also just become a browsable collection where it's not holds and you can just check anything out from it. You can keep here at City Hall for city employees. We can put it in a grocery store, there are lots. It has to be inside, but that's pretty much the only limit. So we're really thinking, how do we spread our, you know, to me, I haven't had conversations, but the hospital at Lake Forest and 380, That's a 24-hour business where if you've ever been in the hospital late at night and you're bored, you would love to check out a book that you're not having to buy because the bookstore's closed or whatever. And something like that, or you're a nurse who's getting off shift. Something like that would be great for me to expand that service there. But there's also, you know, there are whole subdivisions that have neighborhood clubhouses that aren't close to us. So,
how many city employees are there in this building?
A lot.
Do you know?
Everyone but Public Works and the library and PD and Fire, right? Do you know how many employees there are in this building, Alicia? Employees are in this building? Mm-hmm. A few hundred?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking more than that.
Okay. There's, I'm not
sure. Anyway, I was just thinking if you've got a lot of employees who actually use it, what a nice little bonus to for them.
But we just want to make sure that it gets its highest and best use. And expanding, since it is available, could be available 24 hours, a 24-hour location, does that help us get shift workers, get, you know, those folks from people who are up at 5 a.m. But yes, it is, it's like we just have to make that connection. Our program attendance was down, but we had an entire branch closed, and we are not doubling the number of programs, but our pre-K attendance was up. Staff has been doing a great job with those programs, really fine-tuning, practicing, honing those. And then our adult programs are actually going pretty well with our environmental services. John Hummel has been great with outreach, but also birding, environmental programs. He's doing a lot of stuff there that's starting to get some real traction. We're real excited about the work he's doing. Everybody in programming is doing a good job right now. And then volunteering. If you look down there, volunteers in March, we had 417 hours, not quite what we had last year, where we had a huge thing, but last year we had 5 spring break programs. That's a lot of volunteers. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, a lot of those volunteers at the end kind of just stood around going, what am I going to do? Also, one of our locations is closed. So that's all in one building. I know I'm a broken record on that. but that 417, I think we're pretty happy with. So. Yeah. That's my report for usage. Hall library construction is still on pace, on schedule, on budget. We are looking at an October opening.
Wow.
And there will be a special preview night for friends and family, invite only, board members, their family, staff, retired staff, city staff. So that invite will come out so you can run us through our paces before the general public. There will be more tours. If you can't make a tour, right now, the building is not air-conditioned and climate-controlled, so the 3 p.m. one was a little
toasty.
but once it gets dried in and lockable, then the hour restrictions on the building are a little different because we don't have to be there when the foreman's there necessarily. The construction crews won't be there, and we can do different. When there are lights and things at night, we can do different tours. So we'll end
I'll wait for that one.
Yes. Yeah. You'll be, as they come up, you'll be notified. The planetarium is being prepped. That will start in May, and I think it's a 3-month process to put that together. The elevators are being put in at the end of this month. They're saying that might be a 6-week project to put those elevators together. So you'll start seeing it all come together, and then by October, by hook or crook, we're going to be there ready to go. So it should be a lot of fun.
Question, was it here that we hired that lady from Florida to run the planetarium?
Yes.
Yeah, that was amazing. I read that.
Yes.
And that was, I mean, we must have really wheeled her in
here.
She's great.
She's an astrophysics degree holder who had the dream to kind of run a planetarium. She's here. She's chomping at the bit, and we're waiting for the tech. And she's like, when do I get the software so I can start building shows? And I said, well, let's plan out. How many shows a day do you think? And she's like, 10. And then I was like, my eyes got really big. And I was like, I like your ambition. I'm not going to tell you not to do 10. But 10 might, she's like, no, that does sound like a lot. And I was like, yeah, let's. But she's very excited to get going. We assume she knows what she's talking about because none of us know what she's talking about, but she's very confident.
I know. I talked to her about the software, and she was going, as you know. And I was like, I don't know, but it's good to know.
So, I'm surprised she didn't go to NASA.
Well, she's
Being in Florida, too.
Yes, in the school she went to, it's a well-known school for astrophysics. I think two of our three finalists were from that school.
Gosh.
But she just really likes the planetarium education aspect of it. And she's young, and it's an exciting thing to do. Our exhibits coordinator has accepted. They will start in June. They are actually coming from the University of Nebraska, where they've worked as in a theater department building sets and stages.
Fun.
And so they'll be able to also, in the interviews, they were the only person who was talking about how important the design of the layout of an exhibit was to have the flow be natural, but they also understand what it costs to fabricate and how long things take to fabricate so they can actually build our own exhibits. And as we rent things, they'll know all the logistics there. So we're, with them coming on, I think we're really going to be ready over the summer to set Hall up to be a pretty big deal when it opens up.
So when do we get to meet the astrophysics lady?
She was on the tour, but she will probably be presenting here in July.
Okay.
Because she doesn't have the laptop with the software yet. And once we get that, she wants to pull together to see how long it's actually going to take to build the shows, if it's the same as she's used to. And then she wants to have some type of plan for what October and November look like to come present, but we'll bring her in for that presentation. We'll probably pair her with the exhibits coordinator so you can meet them both, and they can talk, because they're right next to each other in the building. They're going to have to work together a lot and rely on the volunteer coordinator a lot. But that'll be a July meeting as our guest.
Are there any plans for like a city kickoff for the community? For the opening?
Yes.
Like
right now it would be, we do probably the Friday before we open, that night be a friends and family board kind of thing. And then that Monday, I don't want to give the specific date because get delayed, but that the first Monday we would open, we would do a soft open that week, and then that Saturday do a big
community
like jugglers and clowns.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not in charge of picking who's there,
yeah.
but have a big...
Have an event, yeah.
A big thing where we could see, like, how many thousands of people can come out in the day, and how many people can we run through the planetarium in 10 minutes at a time, what exhibit do we have set up, how do we do that, what's the lawn like, do we have concert on the lawn? There, Aaron and Casey with the programs, they're already planning all of that to try to get out there, but we wanted to have... the VIPs, the board people, and all that in first so we could learn what might go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wanted to have that week to also slowly kind of get books in their place. Does that actually work when we're open? How does that work? Technology always works perfectly when you open a new building.
Right.
But we want to make sure it's right, and then we want to be exhausted at the end of the day because we've run 10,000 people through the building over and over again.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Since you've hired these amazing people with amazing skills, I mean, not right away, but down the road, if they're open to it, like having them run a program or programming about like astrophysics and, you know, what it is to become like one or what her job is like.
So Emily in particular, part of the interview process, we were asking them about specific education, that these, it's not just press play.
Mm-hmm.
On the planetarium, that it is, how do you bring them in and get them excited about what you do and excited about science? And there is a lecture component to these things. One of the things we're probably after the exhibit coordinator is in June, so it'll probably be pretty soon after that. We're going to sit down with programming and them and just say, what's our policy for field trips in large groups? Because it's going to have to radically change.
Yeah.
We can give to, at Hall, we give tours all the time. We're like, yeah, just call us. Just stop by. You can bring a bus of kids. We'll take care of it. But now, we got to have a rotation. We have to, what size can we handle?
Mm-hmm.
Is it open to anybody? If you have the homeschool group in the middle of the day on a Wednesday, is Thursday our day to give tours and field trips? Like, what do we need to do to make sure that we can accommodate the demand? How far are they coming from? Is it a field trip from Greenville?
You probably want to schedule it. These are the times,
that's
big group times.
That's what we're talking about. And then that will be included in, yeah, you're in the planetarium, you're watching the show, but this is going to come with an educational lecture component. The exhibits person, yeah, you need to be there because before you let them loose, give them your spiel about all the work that went into it and how that goes about, and even the volunteer coordinator and the docents. So, yes, that's a great suggestion, but we will get there.
I think also for the, you said you hired two people for the museum exhibitor. Oh, sorry, one. But even just, what an awesome, like, even just learning from them. Or yeah. Everything, I was like, in my brain's just rolling. I'm like, oh, well, it would be cool if you had a programmer if the kids helped paint it with them or whatever, well, that's, you know, so, things like that.
Yeah, part of the exhibits are, like, how do we get them, how do we get the entire community involved?
That's what I was, yeah.
So, thank you.
I got to go to a banquet.
Yes.
That's fine.
I hope the food is good. So.
Boyd.
Yeah, I hope the food is good, is what I said. So. Yeah, I know. I know it won't be, but...
but yeah, that's awesome.
So I bring up the example of the Philbrook Museum in Tulsa, which if you haven't been, is amazing. It's like way better art museum than you'd think exists in Tulsa. It's truly amazing. When I went, they had what they called the big show. And every fifth grader in the Tulsa area that wanted to be in the show had their art exhibited in the show. And so having the exhibit person and the volunteer coordinator and programming work with kids around McKinney throughout the year with prompts, and then to host something like that in that exhibit space where we could get every family in McKinney through there showcasing the talent of kids in McKinney, those, it's not just traveling exhibits that we pay for. It's also that kind of stuff, which is, yes, very much there. And then the volunteer opportunities from set design, from internships, from all of that, we're very interested in as well.
Cool. It's exciting stuff.
It is, and keep those ideas coming, because even if it's something, yes, now that you've said it, it's recorded, it'll remind, no, that's good. It'll remind us later when you're like, remember when we talked about this? And I'll be like, yes, I do, we're working on it, so.
Well, and you guys are gonna have your hands so full in the next year. You
in
know,
a very good way,
I'm
yes.
I'm excited
yes.
about all the opportunities,
calm
even
down
getting to meet her, and because we talked after the tour, it's like, I just, once she gets to dig into the software, I want to
yes.
see what can
no,
we do.
We felt very much that her expertise and passion would just connect her to the community right away. And she really, she really just wants to, she was talking, like, day two, she's like, so what all do you know about the Artemis II thing? And I was like, it's a thing. And she was going off on everything. And I was like, that's why you're in the right
yeah.
spot. So good job.
What school did she go to? I'm just curious.
Florida's.
Maybe something.
What?
It's a, I don't remember.
I used to live in St. Pete in Tampa, so I was curious if she went to school there.
She was wearing.
She had, yeah, she had the shirt, the logo on for the tour.
Embry-Riddle.
In St. Pete? Embry, same.
Like,
I can remember.
But yeah, it is apparently
a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the, I don't want to call it the Stanford, it's in Daytona.
Okay, I was going to say, I wasn't sure if there's a, I didn't recognize it when you said it, and I was like, I'll look it up.
It's in Daytona, but it's apparently like the Stanford of astrophysics.
Awesome.
That's what they say in their marketing, I don't know. I just know two of our finalists that were really, really smart people
came
both went to school there, so.
That's cool.
All right, so are there any public comments about matters not on the agenda? Anyone? Anyone? Hearing none, we'll move on to, are there any board or manager comments in addition to what we've already talked about?
I would make one comment. I believe next week is Library Week. So if you happen to be by the library, could you please express to staff what a great job they're doing with maintaining almost the same level of business in one building while sitting on each other's laps, because there's nowhere to work.
Getting a little tight.
Yeah. Just if you happen to stop by, I know they'd appreciate it, because they're doing great work. So.
Oh, that was good. And thank you, Alicia. I can thank you early. Well, your city staff, but still, thank you for
she's
this.
She's library staff.
Are you? I'm, it's hard for me to understand how this works. Your library and city.
It is, the 22nd.
Okay.
Is,
thank you.
There are only 52 weeks a year, so you shove them all together.
All right. Any motion to adjourn the meeting? We can take turns.
Aye.
So stupid. Stacy moves to adjourn the meeting. Any second?
I'll second.
Courtney? All right, all in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, I'm going to use this time. So we are adjourning the meeting at 5:39.